1 Corinthians chapter 12. Father, thank you for your word today. Let every person be changed today. And Lord, be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, or as in the original Greek, that's plural, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings, that's plural as well, of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. As who wills? As the Holy Spirit wills. Yep. He's the one that decides and diffuses these gifts. Yep. Now how many know, you know, in the body, even as we, yesterday we had a get together with the men, and one of the things that Mr. Wayne was saying was this, that we were talking about it, and I was just talking about the scripture, how having gifts then differing. How many know we don't all have the same gift? You know, just in our natural inclinations and our natural abilities, we're not the same. You know, husband and wife many times are, you know, the husband has a strength in this area and the wife has a strength in this area. And so very often they complement each other very well. And so, you know, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible also tells us that it's not just, not every person has the same gift, or they even operate in the same gift. Now, the potential is there. And here's the thing. God can give every Spirit-filled believer any of these gifts. They can operate in these gifts. But, you know, you don't just carry this, as I say, humorously in your back pocket. Well, you know, we just need a gift of healing, you know, Pastor, so just come pray. Well, I can pray and I can exercise faith always, like any believer can, but it's up to the Lord if he wants to do miraculous things. It's I like what Smith Wigglesworth talking about the gift of faith. He said, I use my faith till it runs out and then I meet the gift of faith. Amen. You know, the gift of faith the Bible talks about is not natural. It's supernatural. Yeah. What is the gift of faith? And that's not our subject today, but the gift of faith is faith to receive a miracle. Yeah. And then you have the working of miracles. They all go in hand. Yeah. Gifts of healings. All those things. And so, but the gift of faith receives that miracle. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, there's certain things that maybe you just kind of bopping along and you're thinking, you know, Lord, I'm exercising faith, but then all of a sudden, kind of like Clark Kent, he goes in, he turns into Superman. You know, some of you probably want to go into that telephone booth right now, you know, just you go in there. Some people don't even know what a telephone booth is, you know. That was like 1982, you know, so that was, first Superman was like 78 or 9, so, you know. So anyway, you go into that booth and you come out, and what happens? You get that Superman. You know, he opens his shirt and then all of a sudden he's got dun da 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 dun 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 dun. You know, Superman. Well, you know what happens is this: the faith of God comes on you, and that faith causes you to be able to believe and receive a miracle. Amen. You're looking at part of it right here. But the gift of faith that. I mean, it's such an awesome thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so all of these are supernatural. Yeah. As we begin talking about gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit. And so you and I should desire these things in our life today. We should covet earnestly the best gifts, the Bible says. Yeah. Yeah. And do these gifts operate today? Yes. Do they exist today? Yes. Why don't we see them? Because they don't know about them. And number two, they're not hungry for them. And so we must covet as the church. You know, people say covet. You know, I thought it was wrong to covet. Well, covet means to earnestly desire. Yeah. How many know it's okay to earnestly desire the things of God? He tells us to covet the best gifts. And as we always say, the best gift is the one that you need at the moment. If you're dying in the last stages of cancer, then you don't just need a word of knowledge. Maybe it is if the Lord tells you that you're healed and you can get off the bed. But right then, you need gifts of healings. You need working of miracles. You know, so all of the gifts work in conjunction. And I love what he says here. They work in the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So we are to desire the gifts that they would be manifest, but just leave it up to God whom he will choose. Amen. You know why? Because I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is. So it's always as he wills. So we have to stay open and keep a heart open, even in the distributing and the manifestations of these spiritual gifts. Why? Because we get into trouble just wanting to do it ourselves. Right. And, you know, many times, I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, the people want me to perform. And people have said, well, you know, I have to perform. You're not a performer. You're a minister. Right. You know, as a believer, you're not a performer. Right. You're a minister. Yeah. And so you can only, I mean, you know, great men of God that have flowed in this, in the prophetic for years and years. And people come up to them and say, you have a word for me. I don't. Well, you have a word for me. I don't. Yes, you have a word. The word is, verily, I have no word. I mean, what do you tell people? Now, sure, sometimes if you lay hands on people, and sometimes the word of knowledge will operate like that, you have that point of contact, and then you know things. But that doesn't mean that you just can do that randomly to any and everybody. Right. And, you know, this is a whole different subject, but, you know, like, you know, the Bible talks about, in John chapter 5, it talks about the pool right there. And it talks about, you know, an angel would come down in trouble. But, you know, there's other places where Jesus says, you know, hey, he says, will you be made whole? Sir, I have no one to help me in. And so at that point, faith operates. But then there are times where manifestations of the Spirit happen. Why? Because the Bible says that he was not sent, the prophet was not sent except to one, Naaman. And it said there was many widows in that time in Israel, but he was only sent to one. What is that? That's a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit. But that doesn't mean that if you don't get a manifestation of the gift of Spirit, that you have to do without. That's when, bless God, you can just use ordinary faith and just believe that you receive. That's why people have to be taught the Word of God. Yeah. You know, because even in mass crusades, many times people, they can be healed in mass. And I'm not talking about Catholic, you know, but in mass, you know. You have a mass crusade and you have this big mass of people. And what happens is you can have this big mass combined faith. And people can be healed that way, but then go home and lose their healing. Why? Because they didn't grab it with their own faith. You know, there's a lot of times you can just receive because there's something in the air. You know, there's why? The Holy Spirit's manifesting. Yeah. I don't even like really saying it like that, but, you know, sometimes there's just a faith in the air and that people can just reach up and receive. Yeah. Yeah. But then when you get on your own, many times you are on your own. And you had to learn how to exercise authority over the enemy and to keep your healing, to keep your provision, to keep whatever God's given you. Amen. That which has been given to you, you must also keep. Hallelujah. So not every one of us have the same gifts. That's why he says, for to one is given to another. And so we began last week talking, or 2 weeks ago, talking about the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? Just real briefly. Supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God. Supernatural, as we said. Concerning facts in the mind of God. Relating to people, places, or things. And so, you know, it's something that you never learned before. And here's the thing about the gifts. It's not something you work up. You either have it or you don't. You either have a revelation or you don't. And if you don't know that you know, then you don't. Well, I don't know if I have a revelation. You don't. You will know it. You'll know when you have the revelation. Yeah. Yep. Because it just pops on the inside of you. Yep. Kind of like a pop-up toaster. Yep. So I want to share this morning on this second one here. The Bible lists it first and not in any order of importance. And we just started with the word of knowledge. But this, the gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom. Now, the difference of the word of wisdom is this. It always deals with the future. But here's the thing. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge many times flow together. There's a lot of things in the Bible that we separate for reference sake and for teaching, but they often flow together. Now, how many know that works together in worship? The Bible talks about thanksgiving and praise and worship. But if you notice, we didn't just stop, okay, everyone, we're done thanking the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord for a little bit right now. And we got through and we did a song or two and we said, okay, Lord. And we said, okay, everyone, now we're through praising God. Let's worship the God, you know, worship God. No, there's a very much a flow. Yes. And so as we talk about these, we realize that these can flow together. Same way with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Now look over in Acts chapter 9 if you have your Bible. And if this had no reference to anything in life, we wouldn't even talk about it. But these things happen today. And here's why we need this. God is going to speak to you this week, this month. If you're needing wisdom, if you're needing answers to prayers, if you're needing something, God is going to speak to you. He's going to show you if you want to know. Thank God that we have, you know, it's not like, you know, at the end of, and we were talking about this yesterday, you know, you get to the end of Saul. He was so backslid, he went to witches. And, you know, people get desperate enough to hear something. Well, I just want to hear something. Well, you probably will, but it's not going to be the Spirit of God. But we don't have to go to witches. We don't have to go to warlocks. We don't have to go to familiar spirits and you know, necromancy and all that kind of stuff. You know, well, you know, I talked to my brother who deceased 10 years ago. Now you talk to a demon spirit who is a familiar spirit that knew things about him that his mama didn't know. Amen. And they get familiar with you. And they know things about you and they know traits. And so, you know, the Bible, that's just such a poor substitute for what we have in God. We have the real. Amen. I mean, when you can have the real, genuine article, why do you need the false? Why do you need to that's just the slop of religion. Right. You know, I remember this right about the time that Pastor LaShawn and I met. And actually, this was 2002, I remember. And it was a great Saturday morning message that Pastor Rodney preached. And, you know, about Judas and that whole thing about the price of the anointing. And, but he talked about, you know, a lot of people, you know, if they just have, you know, if you offered them something like, say, here's some cow dung with ketchup. You know, you're not going to just say, boy, this is so good, you know. You know, that's the way religion is. Yeah. Oh, just give me a little bit more of that. But see, God doesn't give us cow dung with ketchup. He gives us the real deal. Yes. The pure word of God. And that's what we want. Not be muddied up. Yeah. You ever been like in a real muddy pond and the waters are, you just can't see anything. Right. See, that's what the enemy wants to do is muddy the waters. Where you don't know what's him, what's God, what's you, what's the devil. Yeah. But we can know. Yeah. So did you find Acts 9? I'm not going to read the whole passage, but as we're going to look at some of this, but what we see in this passage is the two of these working together. The Lord told Ananias where to find Saul. How many remember that? He said he's in such and such a place, in such and such a house, and that he's been praying. Now, you know, that was a word of knowledge to him. He had no idea that that was even happening. And he told him the very street and the house and the person to go to. All of those were present facts. But the Holy Spirit also revealed to Ananias that in Saul, who had a vision as well, Saul saw a man coming in named Ananias and lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. What is this? This is the word of knowledge in operation. Now, you know, it's interesting. As he told him, he said that you might receive your sight. But when Ananias showed up, what did he say? He added something to that. Because the Lord spoke to him on the way, undoubtedly. He said, and that you might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he said, Brother Saul, you know, the Lord had to actually let him know, hey, it's okay. Because he was like, Lord, this man, you know, I've heard about all the things he's been doing. He said, he's okay. He's a chosen vessel of mine. And he went and did what God told him to do. And now look in verse 15. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he's a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Now how many know, just a few minutes before, he didn't know if he was a brother or who he was, but now he says, Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto me, unto you in the way as you came, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And of course, he goes from right there and starts preaching Jesus. How many know he didn't wait for 3 years of Bible school? He didn't wait for the doctors of the law to confirm him and all that. He went right out and preached Christ. But notice this. All of this was revelation. I mean, you know, when he said that, I'm going to show you what he was going to suffer. It didn't mean he was going to be sick for Jesus' name, but what did it mean? It mean persecution. What is every one of us, what is something that we can never escape? Persecution. What's that? 2 Timothy 3:12, somewhere right in there, he says, yea, and all those that will live God in Christ Jesus, they might suffer persecution. No, it says they shall suffer persecution. So that can kind of be a little barometer. If you hadn't had any persecution in a while, you need to kind of sharpen up a little bit. Amen. You got to get things moving a little bit. Because you are going to receive persecution for the name of Jesus. So, but that's what Paul did. Number one, the Bible says he was stoned and left for dead. How many remember? 5 times he was given 39 lashes by the Jews. He was shipwrecked 3 times. And if you just read 2 Corinthians 11, you'll see all these different things that he had happen. But see, that was a word of wisdom. Because the word of knowledge told him present facts. Go to this house. Go there. Can the Lord tell you the same thing today? Yeah. Can you be praying and then the Lord says, I want you to go over this place and this place. Yeah. Maybe the Lord gives you a vision. Maybe you saw a little greenhouse with someone sitting outside and the Lord says, for you go do that. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one time they were praying and he said this spirit of intercession came on him and he just started praying. And he said, you know, many times as an intercessor, and you've experienced this perhaps in your life, when you pray, you take the place of another. And maybe if they like he said, there's times when he would pray and he would just say out of his spirit, lost, lost, I'm lost. And he said, I'm making intercession for those people. And he said that he was there and he's praying. And he said as soon as his knee hit the he kneeled down to pray. As soon as his knee touched the floor, he was in the spirit. And he said that he was just conscious of heavenly things more than the natural, you know, more than other people. He said he prayed as hard and fast as he could in other tongues for 45 minutes. He said in the vision, he saw an elderly gentleman come to the altar. He pointed to him and said, sir, God shows me that you're beyond 70 years of age and you have 1 foot in hell and the other slipping in. And you don't hear that kind of preaching much, do you? And he said, And he said he saw him come out of his seat, come down, and get gloriously saved. And so he said, anyway, he told some of the people that were around him what happened. He said the next day, we had that fellow located. We saw him right where you said he was sitting, wearing the same clothes that he, that was a word of knowledge. That was in the, actually, that was a word of wisdom, because that was something that was in the future. So he gets to the message. He just acts out everything he saw in the spirit. He said that he got him, and he says, God shows me that, he said, yes, I'm 72 years old. I've never been in church. He said, my parents were raised universalists, that there is no hell, there is no God, you know. And this is the first time I've been in church. And yeah, you said that. He said, I've had a heart attack, and I've been, I know what you mean. You know, one foot is already in hell, and the other one's slipping in. Said he came and got gloriously saved. All of that was because of prayer, and it was a word of wisdom. So we see that the word of wisdom can come through prayer. It can come through, just an unction that comes to you. It can come in as a vision as well. And so that's how he knew this, and he knew that he gets this word of wisdom. This is what's going to happen to Saul and all that happened. Now, the Bible tells us over in Acts chapter 8 about a deacon. Philip, you know, he became an evangelist, started out as a deacon. A deacon just means a servant. I want to be big in the kingdom of God. The Bible says you then be a servant. Can you say amen? People don't like that word, do they? Serve, you mean I'm a servant? We all are. We serve God. But listen to right here in Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, into the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself into this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in verse 34, and the eunuch answered, and Philip said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou, the prophet, this? Of himself or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now see, that's a true evangelist right there. You can start any scripture, you can start in the begats, and he'll preach Jesus right out of that. Amen. Everything is Jesus. And that's what the evangelist's office is. It's not his only message, but that's his main message. So God revealed his plan and purpose to Philip through an angel's message. I mean, no, an angel can appear to you. Yeah. An angel can appear to you and tell you and give you direction. Now, they don't preach the gospel, but they can give you direction over and over. Amen. So in his message, God directed Philip as to what to do, just as anyone might be led by the Spirit. I'm also reminded of another experience. This man of God, he was saying that Jesus appeared to him. And I'm just giving you different examples. I can give you many along this line. But he said as he was praying, because I'm giving his example because I've never seen an angel. So, but these things do happen. We see it all through the New Testament. But he said as he was praying, he saw Jesus and talked to him. And this is actually another gift of the Spirit called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is actually seeing and hearing into the spirit realm. It doesn't just mean that you know what kind of spirit's involved, but you're actually looking into that realm. You're stepping out of the natural realm that you and I are in. You know, this room is filled with angels. Yep. And I don't acknowledge the demons. They're on the curb somewhere, you know. But the angels of God are here. And I've heard people even testify where they see angels coming in, and it's like they have something. They're pouring out gifts. And some people can be indifferent, and other people can receive. And some people are just, they're sloshing over with a blessing, and other people can leave unchanged. Why is that? Because it's our heart. It's our heart that says, Lord, I got to have more. Yes. Lord, I need you to speak to me today. Lord, I need your presence. I can't go on the same way that I've been. Yes. And as he sees Jesus here in this vision, as he would begin to, he said, there's this angel back there. He was about 9 or 10 feet tall, and his head's like right there at the roof. And as he starts to look at the angel, he says that he starts to open his mouth. He said, then he turns and looks back at Jesus. And that happened a couple of times. And then finally, he said, Jesus, who is that fellow? He said, he's your angel. He says, my angel. He said, didn't you ever read my word? And that's what the Lord always would do. He'll take you back to the word. Yeah. Haven't you read my word where it says that talking about children, that their angel doth always behold the face of my Father? He said, just because you get grown up doesn't mean you lose your angel. Yeah. And why would we, you know? And he said, that's your angel. He said, what does he want? He said, he's got a message from the Father. He said, now, Lord, I'm a stickler for the word. Tell me, you're here. Why don't you give me the word? And of course, Jesus, he said, didn't you ever read my word where Philip went down and an angel spoke to him? Wow. Didn't you read when Peter was praying and Cornelius and an angel speaks, you know? Didn't you read my word this? He says, okay, Lord. And so he looks at the angel and the angel gives him a message. He says this. He said, I've been sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you certain things. How many know that the Spirit of God is interested? One of the things he told him, he says, there's some certain businessmen that have been wanting to do things. He said, don't go that way. He said, they have ulterior motives and they'll take your ministry in the wrong way. He said, also, you need $4,000 to start this. And this is a long time ago. To start this branch of your ministry. He said, I'm here to tell you that the money will come in. He said, in fact, you speak to, and this is why we do this. And even you see it in the word, but also the Lord said this. He said, you command the ministry spirits to cause the money to come. My angels are at work. Hallelujah. People might think it's fairy tales, but my angels are working. And angels are working to bring the money in. They're working to bring people in. Angels are working. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. Amen. I don't know about you, but we need all the help we can get. We need help from heaven. We need help on the earth. Hallelujah. But that's why we say this is supernatural. This is not just natural. So God gave Philip this direction, what to do by an angel. So angels can lead us. They can give us give us direction. I'll say it that way. But should we worship angels?
No.
No, the Bible is very emphatic about that we don't worship angels. And we even see John, you know, he says, he falls down to worship. He says, get up, for I'm your fellow servant.
Yeah.
Amen. So we never worship angels. We never worship people. I don't care how good they are. I don't care, you know, whether they're the Mog, you know, they're the man of God, you know. I don't care, you know, well, who they are. We honor the man of God, but they're not Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. So I want to just show you for a few moments here. The Bible tells us also that there is natural wisdom. But what he's talking about is not natural wisdom. He's talking about supernatural. But how many remember what the Bible says in Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now one translation says this, that you shall make your way prosperous and you shall be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. I'm telling you, brother and sister, if there's anything that we need is wisdom.
Yeah.
We need wisdom in this hour. The wisdom of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, the wisdom of God to keep you, you know, keep you, if you don't have the wisdom, then you'll zig when you should zag. I mean, you'll go the wrong way. Who's ever felt like you went, you know, you zigged when you should have zagged?
Yeah.
And that's the wisdom of God. And that's that, you know, the wisdom of God in the affairs of life, what to do. And that's why I read the book of Proverbs. Take one a day. Just read the book of Proverbs. And I'm preaching to myself now. But take those because that's the wisdom of God. And as you are led by that, you're led by the Spirit. You're led by the wisdom of God, the wisdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And we need that in our everyday. But, you know, Solomon, who wrote some of these here and many of those, his wisdom was not what we would call the supernatural wisdom of the word of wisdom. That was just natural wisdom. It was supernatural wisdom that God gave him, but it wasn't the word of wisdom. But we need this wisdom today. Just like I said. And the Bible tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. Now sometimes we overlook the simple. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus says this, talks about how your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. But you're still supposed to ask.
Yeah.
You ever been talking to somebody and somebody just says, hey brother, just agree with me on this, that I get this job. Okay, I agree. And never even practice that verse said because you never did ask. So you have to ask. You have to say, and you have to agree that it is the will of God. Father, we know that your word says this, and we ask concerning this. We touch this, Lord, in faith right now, and we believe we receive it. And then, you know, you can expect the answer. But he says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to every man liberally, and he upbraids not. So God's not going to get mad at you for asking for wisdom. Oh, God. Lord, I need wisdom again. You know, I feel like I've been asking too much here. He's not going to get mad and say, well, son, how much are you going to ask? He's going to say, okay, I've got plenty. He gives to all men. That's why his mercies are new every morning. I don't know about you, but I know in years ago in my life, I was so glad when the morning came because I felt like I used all the mercy of God up. And I say, oh, God, thank you that the mercy is new. You got a new batch for me today. And you don't even have to be in sin to experience mercy. We just need mercy. Not because you've been made some grievous sin, but we just need the mercy of God to help us. So it says, and he upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So we all can have this wisdom to deal wisely in the affairs of life, but we just have to ask for it. So realize this, though, that God reveals his purpose and his plan for the future through the word of wisdom. So that's different. That's the word of wisdom is always something that's direct, and it's something that's concerning the plan and purpose of God. And this is actually different than the simple gift of prophecy. You know, the Bible says that you may all prophesy. But that doesn't mean that you know, you're all going to, that doesn't mean you're going to predict the future. That doesn't mean that you're going to, that you'll have a word of revelation. The Bible tells us that the simple gift of prophecy speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we're going to talk more about this when we talk about prophecy. But, you know, when you prophesy, it's prophecy simply means inspired utterance in a known tongue. And it's to bubble forth, to tumble forth, to spring forth.
Yeah.
And it's the word coming out of you. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have any revelation.
Right.
Many times what we call prophecy, actually, prophecy is just the vehicle that gets you there. Well, you know, if Vaughn's in his vehicle, that doesn't mean he's the automobile. It's just taking him there, taking him somewhere. You know, like one minister said, you can call yourself anything, put a label on yourself. You know, you can call yourself an automobile, but just by sitting in your car doesn't make you one. But But here's what I was going to say is prophecy. Maybe you start to prophesy, but as you begin to prophesy, then all of a sudden there's other things that are in that that are revelation. Yeah. Then it's actually a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or discerning of spirits. Right. Those are the three revelation gifts. So, if a person's only using the simple gift of prophecy, and thank God for the simple gift. Do you know that one of the simple gifts, parts of the simple gift of prophecy is this? The Bible calls it psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All of the psalms actually came by the spirit of prophecy. Now, you know, not all of them are praise, and that's obvious when you read the book of Psalms. Not all of them are praise and worship, but they all came by the spirit of prophecy. Even testimonies, the Bible says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Even when these girls were talking, and especially Akosia, when she was just ministering, it's like she started to prophesy, you know, and just what this means, you know. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Who's ever given a testimony, and then all of a sudden you start saying things that you didn't even know you knew and planned? Well, that's part of the spirit of prophecy. Does that mean that you're a prophet? Does that mean that you predict the future? No, that just means that you're operating in the simple gift. Now, here's the good news. God can use any spirit-filled believer, like I said, to walk in any of these at any time. You know, a lot of times we read the book of Acts and we think that these people, they must have visions like every other day. And that they... You know, they walked on water in their spare time, but it's not true. it's just something that that maybe operated once or twice in their whole life in ministry. But we see it in the whole book of Acts over a 30, 40-year period of time. Hallelujah. So edification, exhortation, and comfort, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the simple gift. But the word of wisdom is always going to have revelation. What does that mean? Something that is revealed. Yeah. And, you know, it's like all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Yeah. You didn't know, but now you know what to do. Yeah. You know exactly what to do. Yeah. What is that? That's the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom can come in many different forms. An audible voice, a vision, or a dream. You know, one of the things I just want to emphasize is this, though. Never follow voices. In your hunger for God, never follow voices. There was a lady who came to one of Brother Oral Roberts' meetings and heard him say that God spoke to him in an audible voice. No doubt to him it was audible. Talking about the healing ministry and what God called him to do in the 1940s. And so this lady... What she didn't know is that Brother Roberts was not seeking to hear a voice. And so she didn't know that. So she just started seeking voices. And demons started harassing her. So as you, you know, if the Spirit of God's not involved, then what does that do? It opens up to wrong spirits. And that's why we say we don't just prophesy and give people a word without the anointing. We don't want to just, you know, you either have a word of knowledge or you don't. You know, you don't just pull this up. Let me see. Yeah. You know, you don't want, if you don't have it, you don't have it. You better just tell people, no, I don't have anything. Do you have any revelation? But no, I don't. Well, if God gives me something, then I'll let you know. Amen. And then you get to be busy about hearing God for yourself. But this woman, though, she came to another minister's meeting, and she went to this minister and couldn't get delivered because she's hearing these voices. And went to another, couldn't get any help. Went to a third minister, couldn't get any help. Came to this fourth minister, and he had revelation. As he laid hands on him. And he told the pastor, take her and her husband and take them to the back office and we'll talk to them after the service. So what happened is, as he saw this, he saw in a mini flash, he saw this lady going to this meeting, hearing Brother Roberts say that, and how that she started to follow voices and wanted to hear voices. And so the minister said, she understands everything, and she had already been committed to an insane asylum. And he said, she hears everything I say. And he said, sister, speak up if what I'm saying is wrong. The reason why you're hearing these voices is because you want to. She said, yeah, that's right. And says, whenever you want to quit hearing these voices, then you come back to me. She says, I like hearing them. I mean, some people just like hearing voices. Some people like hearing the rapping on the walls. I mean, some people like hearing fingernails in the middle of the night, but I don't. Some people like demonic manifestations. But anyway, so he said, and she'll be mad at me just like she was Brother Roberts because I couldn't help her. That's why I didn't minister to her. And so you have to have the will. And see, God doesn't even exercise authority over human spirits. And so why would we think we can? Right. You know, you can't use spiritual manipulation to make people do stuff. Well, bless God, they're going to do it or else. You know, I'm just going to pray and make them do it. You're not going to do it. Right. You're into witchcraft. And you're into substitute authority. God doesn't even do that. God will never override someone's will. Can you say amen? So the Bible tells us real quickly about the word of wisdom coming in these different forms. Number one, listen, Joseph received a word of wisdom through a dream that revealed the future. So God can speak to us the same way today. We see number two, that Moses, he received revelation of the law. How did he receive that? By an audible voice. Amen. He received an audible voice. And what was that? That was the law concerning Israel and the way they should walk, the way they should go in life. That was a word of wisdom. It was the word of wisdom in operation. It was the purpose and plan for Israel. And then I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 21. We should expect God to move supernaturally in our lives today. Where did the time go? Amen. We'll try to wrap it up in the next hour and a half. Acts 21. No, we're coming down to the, we can see the runway. But Acts 21, look in verse 10. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle, you could say his belt, and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. So what is he saying? This is what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, you know, some people actually think that this is one time where Paul missed it. But Paul didn't miss it here. I want you to just notice a couple things. The Bible says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. There's other translations that say this, by impressions of the Spirit. This is what's going to happen. But one thing I want you to notice, Agabus never told him not to go. But these other people, they heard what the Holy Ghost said, and they put their wrong interpretation on it. And they said, well, Paul, you better not go then. But by impressions of the Spirit, what'd he tell him? He just tell him, this is what's going to happen when you get there. So he didn't tell them, so don't go. That's what they did. They just said, well, obviously, Paul, you shouldn't go. But then they said, Paul says, why do you try to break my heart? And when he would not be persuaded, they said, the will of the Lord be done. Well, see, they weren't even persuaded if it was the will of God or not. Otherwise, they said, well, go ahead, Paul, you just miss it then. You know, if they were not persuaded, see, they didn't even know. So they said, okay, the will of the Lord be done. They just loved Paul, and they wanted to see him not. He said, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. And here's further revelation. Jesus appeared to him after this. If he would have missed it, Jesus would have said, Paul, I told you. You didn't even listen. I sent you Agabus. But he said, Paul, be of good cheer. He said, just as you testified before me in other places, you need to go to Jerusalem too. So he was right in the perfect will of God. Can you be in the perfect will of God and have trouble? The answer is yes. So Agabus did tell him not to go, but Paul obeyed God. And then one other thing we need to understand is this. The word of wisdom can be conditional. The word of wisdom can be conditional. What does that mean? Do you know that there are conditional prophecies? There are certain things that if you do this, then God will do this. Now, if you read over in 2 Kings 20, the Bible talks about Hezekiah. And what did the prophet tell him? Now, how many know the prophet is the voice of God, we would say, in the old covenant? What if God showed up at your house? Samuel would go up, and what would they say? Do you come peaceably? When they see the prophet coming, they're thinking, oh, no. You know, the prophet's come to town. They say, is it peaceably? He said, yes, peaceably. We're going to go and we're going to worship. And that's about the time, you know, when Saul was anointed and all that. And but we see here, he says, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. How many know that's when you start contacting the funeral home, getting things right. Here's my plot. Here's my burial plot. But no, the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. And as he turned his face to the wall, he says he cried out. And the Lord speaks to him, to Isaiah. Once again, he says, turn around, go back, tell him, I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayer. I'm going to add to you 15 years. Yep. People just look at that and they think, well, you know, God changed his mind. But no. God said, this is what's going to happen in the circumstances. You know, God will show you things. Why does the Lord show you things? Because he wants you by prayer to change them. He doesn't want you just to be, oh, okay, well. No, he wants you to pray and change it. This is what's going to happen in our nation. Okay, pray and change it. This is what's going to happen in your family. Pray and change it. The Lord will speak to you sometimes even years ahead of time so you can pray. Now, there's some things you can't change, but he tells you so you can get ready for it. Yep. This is what's coming. Yep. It's like, you know, as you get older, how many know that the numbers, you know, keep adding up? You just prepare for it. You know, you rejoice in it, and you live life. But, you know, it's the same thing with prayer. Sometimes you can't change certain things, but you can get ready for it. Yeah. Amen? And you can actually get other people ready for it as well. So he turned his face to the wall. The Bible tells us of Jonah. What did Jonah have? He had a word of wisdom that God was going to destroy Nineveh. That was the future. And what did he do? He hated those folks. I mean, that was an angry prophet right there, you know. And so he runs away. And the Bible says, though, that, you know, after all his being in the seaweed and all that, and that fish, great fish, vomits him up on land. He goes back, and boy, the people are looking at him and say, oh, he must have disobeyed God. Or, you know, they can just smell the gastric juices and stuff. And they're like, oh, man, he's a disobedient prophet. And so you can imagine what it looks like when he shows up in town. they really wanted to repent when they saw him, you know. And he's preached an 8-word message, and the people repented. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, why did he go through all that trouble when it was an 8-word message? I wouldn't have gone through all that trouble. I mean, if you knew ahead of time. But he said that and the people repented and he was mad about it. But you know what? That was conditional. Based upon that, he said they would be destroyed. Now, Nineveh was destroyed sometime later, but that was conditional. But I say all that to say that God will show us things and we can pray. We can change them. Hallelujah. You know, the word of wisdom will tell you about danger as well. How many remember the Bible says in Acts 27, Paul said when they left on this voyage, he says, I perceive. Notice he didn't say, God spoke to me. Who's ever just had a spiritual perception? And you just know, I feel like in my spirit that this is what's going to happen. Yep. God never spoke to you. You didn't have a word of knowledge or anything. You just perceive. Yep. And that's the way we're supposed to act. It's that inner witness, that inner knowing, that inner endorsement, that stamp of approval and says, this is me. You know, it's that inner testifying. Yeah. It actually is a co-witness, the Bible says. So he says, I perceive. But how many remember, after all this time, they go and then they're about to lose the whole ship. They're about to lose everything. And they said, you know, you know, all the lading is gone and we despair of our lives. But Paul, the man of God, had a vision. And he shows up and he says, be of good cheer. You're thinking, who is this guy, you know? Be of good cheer. For the God whom I serve and whose I am, he hath appeared to me. He says, there shall be no loss of the life of the ship, except of the lading. What did he have? He had a word of knowledge. I mean, he had a word of wisdom. By a vision. But what did he say? He said, none of you can leave. You have to stay here with me. How many know it's good to be around the right company? There are some people that should be so glad for you. They might think sometimes that you might be a little eccentric, a little off the wall, but if you know, they know that you believe God and they know that you get answers to your prayers. I tell you, there's people sometimes that have thought that we were crazy, but we get phone calls still from them when they're in trouble. Why? Because they know who to call when they need help. Hallelujah. So we need these manifestations today. And I believe that, as we said earlier, that this week, expect the unexpected. Yes. And as I said, don't pray to an angel. Don't pray and, oh God, you know, give me this vision. And no, you just seek God, and as He sees fit, yeah, He'll give you what you need. Yeah. Maybe it's, you know, it can be as simple as you reading a Bible verse. Yeah. It can be as simple as someone you're talking to, yeah, and they don't even know that they're talking to you, but they are. Yeah. They're talking by the Holy Ghost. And as you learn to just follow that, always check it out with the word. Yeah. Hallelujah. But God wants to do these things today. Can you say amen? Amen? Father, we thank you so much today. We thank you, Lord, for these gifts that belongs to us today. Father, thank you that it's your will to give us wisdom and understanding, not only to deal with the affairs of life, but Lord, even supernaturally when we need direction and supernaturally when, Lord, even when we've almost missed it, that you, Lord, you've warned us and you've shown us. Thank you, Lord, by your Spirit that you speak to us today and that you lead us and guide us into the place that we should walk.